Good morning. Have y'all ever heard the phrase, you know the phrase, give credit where credit is due? So Yvette, our secretary, actually puts the slides together for our song leaders. Right. Well, sometimes she may send something out with my name on it, so she dodges, you know, any flack coming back. I hand it to her. That's wise. But she does the slides for our song leaders, absolutely, and she seeks out, you know, updated slides for songs, and so I have to give credit. If I don't give credit, she may threaten to quit doing that, so I want her to keep doing that. And so I like it when a song ends, right? So anyway, I like that, the updated version. Today is Senior Appreciation Day, and so every year, about this time of year, we pick a Sunday and we honor our graduates, our high school graduates, in a special way. And it's a special time for us as a church family to celebrate with the families of our seniors. And so we want to make that a special time. We're doing that today at the end of service. And if you ever have wished that the preacher would preach less long, then today should be your day, okay? It should be your day, because we're going to allow time at the end. Zach will come up and we'll honor our... We have one senior graduate this year, so I consider today just the Maddie Bateman Day, is the way I'm looking at it. So, but this is... it's exciting. It's an exciting time for our seniors, of course. And it's an exciting time for us as a church family, because we want our kids, when they grow up here, to remember us and how much we love them and that they're welcome here. And we hope the faith instilled in them, the values instilled in them to follow God, we want that to carry on with them throughout their life. So I want to share some things with you today that I think will apply. Maybe you have younger children. Maybe you have a child that's going to graduate in the next couple of years. Maybe you have a recent graduate or just a part of this church family. And the fact that we don't come in here isolated. We come in here and join. We're a group, and we belong to each other, and we matter to each other. And you have a role. Honestly, at the end of today's, after the invitation song, I have some announcements, and a number of those are about we need a teacher for this, we need a helper for this, and that's for our children. And our children are very precious to us. So when you, you know, parents or grandparents, when your child is young, or maybe when you first learn that you're going to be a parent, what do you wish for that child? I remember, one thing for me, when I learned that I was going to be a father, I was excited, and then I wished for a baby boy, and that, anyway, went the other way, and that went that other way three times. And so I have three daughters. I wish that every time. I wouldn't, honestly, truthfully, I would not change it. If I could go back, I wouldn't change it at all. God has been very, very good to me and to our family. But when your children are young or not even born, you have hopes and dreams for them. You want them to do well in life. You want them to succeed. You want them to be happy. You want them to achieve their dreams. As a society, an American society, we are a bunch of dreamers. And we want that for our children. But ultimately, we want the best for them. And sometimes we're reminded that, you know, actually the best for my child is to walk with God. Amen. If my child can grow up into adulthood, and as an adult, if they can walk with God, that is far superior to any other earthly success. And so that's what we want for them. And a scripture we looked at a week or two ago about Timothy, Paul writes, he says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. Sincere faith. James, the book of James in scripture, tells us about dead faith. And that is, faith without works is dead. That's what scripture says. So I can believe in something, but if I don't live like it, I can believe God should be first, but if I don't put God first, then my faith isn't being lived out. For our children, we don't want them to just have faith, because they might have dead faith. We want them to have sincere faith. And we want them to grow, and they may have a family of their own, and we want that faith passed on to them. But graduating high school is absolutely an exciting time. I remember And I've told this before, but when I graduated high school, when it was time to go to college, I left, and there's probably a dust storm behind my car. When I left home, I left early that morning. I was packed and ready, and that memory actually helps me now, because I know at that time I didn't have a bad home life. I wasn't running from home. I was running to my future, and I was ready to spread my wings. And that helps me now because I have children that are wanting to spread their wings. And as a parent, sometimes you can get a little offended that the baby wants to leave the nest. But that's the natural way that God has made us. It's exciting. For a high school senior graduating, all their hopes and dreams are ahead of them. They're all out there. The older we get, we may get a little discouraged because things didn't turn out quite like we wanted. We had some of our dreams dashed and some of our hopes fell short, but as a young person, it's exciting because the future is all there. Graduating high school is also a time of testing. You think of the story Jesus told about the prodigal son. Prodigal son left home. He went far away, and he did things the way he wanted. And that did not end well. I mean, at the very end it did because he came home. But the prodigal son, if you look at his venture out on his own as a test, he failed that test. He didn't walk with God. He didn't put God first. And so it absolutely is a challenging time for our young people. When they leave home, if they move off and live in another town, the town is different. The church there is different. The church family there. Friends may be different. And so things become challenging. I have for years in my lawn had some Bermuda, a little bit of zoysia, and a lot of fescue because I had a lot of shade trees. And fescue was I had a love-hate relationship with it because in the spring, fescue, it's a cool season grass. It likes it cooler. In fact, it loves March and April, May. It loves that time of year. And so it grows well in the shade. It grows dark green. And in the spring, it looks amazing. In the summer, it's not a big fan of the heat, and it does not do well. And so one thing that's true about grass, and I was never great at this, but in the spring, even though it looks good, that's actually the time to work on its roots. Because if you can, in your watering and how you're treating it, if you can get its roots deeper in the summer, it will do much better. I never really did that. And mine always struggled mightily in the summer. And so for young people growing up, you think about faith. Our younger children, and we have children in Bible Hour right now, our younger children, in their faith, they look great now. You see what I mean? The conditions are good now. But summer's coming. They're going to step out of that nest. How deep are their roots? And that's what's important to us. We want them to have deep roots. I want to share a scripture with you, Psalm 127. It's a short psalm, and I love it because it actually, in this one psalm, it applies so well for what we're talking about today, because the first part, I think, speaks well to a young person leaving home or reaching adulthood, and then the next part speaks to parents, grandparents. So verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." It's a great passage that, you know, it makes the point that I can live life and I can do all kinds of things and I can achieve things and my dreams can come true. I can do all these things, but if God's not at the front of it, it's really in vain. At the end of life, it's going to be pointless because God is our eternal Father. He created us, and someday we'll stand before him and answer to him. And so it reminds us, keep God in the middle of everything you're doing. In fact, put him at the first of everything you're doing. Don't live life without God. Amen. Then the next part, reading on, verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. And basically reminds us as parents, children are a wonderful gift. They're a gift. They're a blessing. And in raising them, we have a responsibility, and they are such a joy. And they can be a challenge because they, as they grow up, they develop a mind of their own. But they are like, this passage calls them arrows. What do you do with an arrow? You shoot an arrow. Where do you shoot it? Or rather, let me ask, where does the arrow go? And the answer is the arrow goes wherever you aim it. Typically, not, you know, wind conditions and does it have a flaw with it. But for the most part, the arrow will go wherever you aim it. And it's a reminder to us as parents and grandparents, we need to be aiming our children to God. That's where we need to aim our children. In fact, we need to aim our children to eternity. That's our greatest wish for them, isn't it? And so that's a great, great reminder to us as parents. So I want to share a few more quick thoughts. As a church family, what can we do to help our young people, in particular when they do reach the stage of graduating high school, when they reach that adult, they're entering into adulthood. And so we have we have young people doing that every year here, and they will in the future. So for those young adults that may be leaving this area, but they may come back someday, or how will they do where they are? My question is, what can we do for them? And first thing we can do, and the greatest thing we can do, is pray. Some of you, many of you, pray for your children and grandchildren every single day. And they don't live at home anymore because they have their own nest. And there's a variety of ways that they are doing in life and how they're doing with God, but we pray for them, pray for them, pray for them. I want to remind you, don't ever quit. Don't ever think that, well, I guess that's not going to work out, or I guess they're not going to go where I aimed them, and I'm just going to give up praying. Don't ever give up praying. Because the greatest single thing we can do to help our children is pray, is to lift them up to the Almighty. And so we want to do that as a church family. We also, I put this one after prayer because prayer is the greatest and most important, but we want to welcome them and keep welcome. We want them to always know, our young people, that this is their church home of origin, and they're always welcome here. And when they come back, and they do periodically, it's a joy for us, right? It's a joy for us because this is one of our family. And they may not be able to be here. They may not live here anymore, so they can't be here every Sunday. But when we see them again, right, it's like a reunion. It's a wonderful thing. I encourage you to connect with our young people. Connect with them. Some of you may greet Maddie today for the first time ever. That's fine. But connect in the future. Make sure when they walk in this building, they know this is a place that they are very welcome. Thirdly, we need to encourage them. And we can, you know, you can do this through all kinds of communication, but a good old-fashioned card, handwritten card with an encouraging message is not only ancient, but it is still a great way to send someone, you know, a message of encouragement. But you can do it on social media. You can do it many different ways. And when you're face-to-face with them, but we need to encourage our young people. They are living lives battling Satan just like we are. They have struggles. And our world has not gotten more hospitable to the Christian life. And so they have a more difficult walk now. And then lastly, what we can do with our young people is we can involve them. And there's something I had not really thought about this way, but when Paul talks about Timothy, he says, Scripture records that he wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew his father was a Greek. So Paul takes Timothy, he kind of drafts him into missionary work, but in doing so, he involves him. And honestly, it's an area that I I haven't thought enough about. As a church family, we probably have not done well enough at this. And what I mean is, as our kids grow up, involve them in ministry. Don't just teach them about God, but we need to show them how you work in the kingdom, how you serve. And I have to commend our ladies and different servants, different men, and occasions where that does happen. It does happen a fair amount, but we can probably do more of that. Our kids need to know what it's like to serve God in the kingdom. They need to know what it's like, the joy of doing something in God's name. That's a special joy. So anyway, we can involve them, and I hope we do more and more. All right, like I said, we want to preserve some time at the end after service this morning, and so we're going to have an invitation song at this time. You may be here and have something on your heart, something that's weighing you down, something you came in with, or maybe something that you would like prayers about. And like God to lift you, like us to lift you up to God. And we'd love to do that. There may be one here that has never given their life to Christ. And there's no greater time than the present. But if there's something we can do for you, please come while we stand and sing.
Come to Jesus, he will save you. Come sins as friends of the Lord. If you give your heart to Jesus, he will make